We're holding them hemoglobin bays as three lines from the bottom. And by the way, don't be deceived. This next block has very short, very small amount of Gemara, but it packs quite a punch as far as understanding of it.
It takes away in space because
yeah,
it's absorbed in thinking.
Well, that, but more because of the fact there's at least two or three different completely different ways of understanding the Surya. And there's the Ram's way, and then the Rosh brings two different possible ways of learning it. Okay. So, again, the Mishnah had talked about the case where somebody had declared, where somebody is mudr hana from somebody else, but that person who's mudr doesn't have what to eat, so the other person puts some food on a rock or whatever and says this food is hefker, and the other guy is able to take it, but then we said Rabbi Yossi Oysa. And we discussed two possible reasons why Rabbi Yossi might say it's also. One would be because according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no period when the thing is actually hefker. It goes from it's in the guy's rishus as long as nobody else has picked it up. When somebody else picks it up, then it automatically goes into his rishus. So there's no in between time. So therefore, we'd be getting hana'ah from him.
So he doesn't believe in hefker.
No, he doesn't believe in hefker. We said yesterday that he believes in hefker, but hefker only takes effect when the person actually picks it up. Wait, we're going to get into that now. We had Rava's reason that theoretically it should work, but we're afraid about not enough space. Chervin, the case in the next parak where somebody makes something hefker, and it turns out that he didn't really make it fully hefker, or not really hefker really, but he wasn't fully machneh to the other person. Yeah. And by the way, I did look about the business how that fits with Matana Amanas Lahaser. The difference is in the case of Beis Chervin, he had given it to him unconditionally. So now, if all of a sudden the guy wants to give it to Hektish and he's saying, wait a minute, I didn't give it to you with that, well, that cancels the whole giving in the first place. If you, to begin with, give a matana, a manas lahaster, or a matana based on any other tanai, sure, the tanai needs to be niskayim. But yes, you can give something as a matana on condition that you return it, and that's considered a valid matana for that period of time. Here, he didn't give it as a matana, a manas lahaster. He gave it as an unrestricted matana, and then all of a sudden afterwards he's complaining, wait a minute, I didn't give it to you to give away as after. That's the difference. Okay, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Hamakir today, somebody who declares his field hefker, kol shloshi yomim liyachol lastabai. During the first 3 days after he declares it hefker, he can change his mind. Makan va'elach in yachol lastabai. After that, he can't change his mind. Well, we're going to see who that goes according to. The Ran starts by explaining like this. This, when we're talking about over here that within the 3 days he can change his mind, that means the Ran says even if somebody took possession of it during the 3 days, by the end of the 3 days the original person who declared it hefker is allowed to sometime during those 3 days he can change his mind and take it back. The other guy who took it during those 3 days ends up having no effect. Now the Rosh explains differently. The Rosh explains that in fact if somebody took it during those 3 days, it will have an effect. It just means that if nobody took it during those 3 days, then he's able, at the end, within those 3 days, he's able to change his mind. The Rambam, by the way, also learns pretty much like the Rosh, and the Rambam explains that the Rambam explains essentially the way that the Mefarshim and Rambam explain it in Hilchos Nedarim is, the Rambam phrases it like this. A person declares something hefker, it's sort of like a neder. That's why he puts it in Hilchos Nedarim. It's sort of like a neder, so you're not allowed to change your mind. But, as we say over here, you have 3 days. So during that three days, you're able to retake it back from hefker. But, effectively, what it is not that you're changing your mind. It's hefker. Anybody can take it. Therefore, you yourself can take it as well. But it's not considered that, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here, yachalaksabai and yachalaksabai.
So you don't retake it.
No, so in other words, what it is is during the 3 days, if you're retaking it, then you're retaking it. You're not supposed to be chozebo. You're not supposed to change your mind, but if you did during those 3 days, as the Gemara is going to go on over here to say, that you have those 3 days, where if you take it back, that point is still a continuation. It's still been yours all this time. Which has effects as far as the dinim of Meiser in particular. We know that a hefker field, the produce of it is potter from Meiser. We learn that from Shmita. So if the hefker had taken effect, the field would be potter from Meiser. If the hefker never took effect, then it remains chayiv in Meiser.
But nobody can take a field
No, well, it means that, no, taking it means that they make a chazaka of some kind, and no agadu or bara, the usual ways, the dalshamets or whatever, the different ways in which you can make a chazaka in a field. Makushachas, where you do one spadeful that you dig in it, whatever. Whereas after the 3 days, if the person himself takes it back, then it's considered he took it from Hefker. It's considered like a whole new possession. No, but that's 5 minutes is another thing. Omar, the Braita continues, what if the person said, Tehesh sadazum of keres the yom echad, what if the person said, this field will be hefker for 1 day, l'shagas achas, or only for 1 week, l'choydesh echad, l'shana achas, l'shavua achas, for 1 month, for 1 year, for one shmita, then, ad shaloi zachaba ben hu ben acha yochal achzabai, then, before he or anybody else is zoiche in it, then he's able to change his mind, misha zachaba ben hu ben acha in yochal achzabai, once somebody is zoiche in it from hefker, then he can't change his mind. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about. There's a great deal of chiddush in it. And by the way, there is a question also. Rabbi Akiva Eger discusses the issue. Are we saying the person said the field is hefker for 1 day, let's say, for example? Does that mean if somebody took possession of that field during that 1 day, does that mean they have the right to it for that 1 day, but then it goes back to the original owner? Or no, does it mean once it was hefker during that day and somebody else took it, then it's his forever? Rabbi Akiva Eger says the second way, based on he learns the Rosh over here, to say that it means forever. So all it means is it's hefker for 1 day, for example, meaning if nobody has taken possession of it during that day, then it reverts to the original owner. But if somebody has taken possession of it during that 1 day, then that person gets to keep it permanently.
Wait, you believe hefker is temporary?
If the person himself is saying that the hefker is temporary.
But if he's not, he says it's hefker.
Well, that was the first case of the Mishnah. The first case was he just said it's hefker without specifying.
We said
3 day grace period. The second case is he specifically says that it's a temporary hefker. Now let's look in detail at this braisa. Again, we're going to assume the Ram starts by saying like this. We're going to assume that Rabbi Yossi holds, like we said yesterday, what Rabbi Yochanan says, that hefker is like a matana. There's no in limbo state. There's no time when the field is actually ownerless. When a person declares that hefker, it remains implicitly in his possession until somebody else actually takes possession of it. That's what we said. That's why Rabbi Yochanan had understood Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, so the first part of our braisa then, the first part of our braisa, on the face of it, would have to be like a chamin. This that we're saying, this braisa that we just quoted, I'm after a seder kol shloshi yom lo chalach
sabay.
It'd have to be like a chamin. Have to be according to the like the Chachamim, because according to Rabbi Yossi, what's the difference? Even after 3 days, why shouldn't you be able to be chayzer
by it? It's always his.
It's always his until someone else takes it. Yeah. So the first part seems to be like the Rabbanan. The second part of the Braisa, though, about the Yom Echad, the Shabbos Achas, etc., that part fits better according to Rabbi Yossi. Because what does the Braita say? Until somebody is zeicha in it, then he can change his mind. Once somebody is zeicha in it, you can't change your mind.
But he gives a time period.
No, but that's not the point. The point is we're focusing on the fact that the Braita says that the Braita distinguishes when somebody else took possession of it, or he himself took possession of it, versus when not. That fits according to Rabbi Yossi. According to the Chacham, it doesn't matter when somebody else took possession. It matters you declared it hefker. At that point, it went out of your rishus. Therefore, Reish Rabbanan, Sefer Rabbi Yossi, on the face of it, the Braisa, the first part of the Braisa seems to be according to the Chachamim, the second part seems to be according to Rabbi Yossi. And how
close it, right?
Well, yeah. So before we get to the answer, maybe let's learn some of the Ran inside, and it'll clarify it to us. The Ran begins Tanya Mafia today, or I'm giving all the days. Seems to me that the Rishonim didn't really clarify this properly. So it seems to me we explain it as follows. For all 3 days, you can change your mind. We say after that, you can't change your mind. Now, midikom maflig b'sefer. Now, since in the second part of the Braita, it makes the distinction, since the sefer is distinguishing, the first part of the Braita is not distinguishing whether somebody took possession of it or not, it's just saying 3 days versus after 3 days. The second part of the Braita is making that distinction between zacha and not zacha. The first part is not making that distinction. It says that it depends whether before or after 3 days. Therefore, we have to understand then, we have to understand then that the Braita is saying as follows. We're in the middle of learning the Ran over here on Mem Gimel on the base to understand the Gemara over here. The whole 3 days you can change your mind from your hefker. So even if somebody else were to be zoche in it before the chazara, loy koner, he would not be koner.
That if you want to fit the first part of the brayta or the second part of the brayta?
Yeah, the fact that the second part, the fact that only the second part distinguishes whether somebody was zoche in it versus not, and the first part doesn't, the Ran says that proves that in the first part of the brayta, we're saying during the 3 days, even if somebody else was zoche in it, doesn't help. You, the maskir, have the right within those 3 days to change your mind and say, you know what, I didn't want to declare it hefker after all. And therefore, then you take it away from that person. Now, again, the Rosh does not hold like that. And apparently the Rambam doesn't either. The Rosh holds that once somebody else takes it, that's it. It's irreversible, yeah. According to the Rosh, the 3 days would only be that within those 3 days, if nobody else has taken possession of it within those 3 days, then when you yourself take possession of it again, then it's considered a continuation of your previous ownership. As opposed to if it's after 3 days, it would be a whole new ownership. And again, the Rambam seems to hold the same way. Yeah. So even if somebody else is zocha before your chazara, he's not partner. Or mafarish time will come on. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain the reason the masrin behadrin behind, the reason why we have this takana is because there were people who would make their fields hefker and then change their mind.
Behadrin
behind, and then they change their mind. Mishum de hefker potman, the mishum de hefker potman am meister, because a field of hefker is potter from meister, hoyo haramoin makirin sedeseyen, so tricksters would be makir their fields, kedeli potter, in order to patter themselves from truma and meister. And they meant, when they're masking it, they meant to take it back. And they're going to take it right back. So it comes out, the hefker was only a harama, it was only a trick. Therefore, the Chachamim had to say, that indeed, if you're zoicha in that field during those 3 days, then you're not considered to be zoicha from hefker. And that's why we say that even if you yourself take it back, it's not considered that it was ever hefker.
Why just 3 days?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that later. Now the Chachamim therefore also had to say that even if somebody else is not koner, that the master is able to change his mind during the 3 days. Even though, now when you get down to it, if Reuben is master and Shimon takes possession of it, obviously there's no ramoros going on over here. Obviously Reuben wasn't master in order for him himself to take it back. Obviously it seems legit. No. We're not talking about that. Nevertheless, we had to be going to that Eloi Ha Le Kaima Ha, because without that detail that Shimon can't be Zoicha in it during those 3 days, the first part that Reuben himself can't be considered to be Zoicha in a Hefker wouldn't stand. Because look, what's going to happen if Reuben the trickster sees that when Shimon is Zoicha in it, he's actually Koine? Then they're not going to listen. If the Chachamim tell Reuben, I'm sorry, but you can't be re Koine this from Hefker, they're not going to listen. They're going to say, look, if Shimon is entitled to acquire it from Hefker, so are we. And if it's Hefker, then it's Potter from Meiser. So in order to make the part stand that if Reuben wants to declare it Hefker and then reacquire it to Potter himself from Meiser, to not allow that to happen, we also had to make it, therefore, by the same token, during that period, Shimon can't acquire it either.
How would Shimon know when Reuben said it's Hefker?
We know. I mean, we're going to talk about at the end of the Peres that really Midrabanan is supposed to declare Hefker in front of three people. But Midraraisi can do it in front of one, but whatever. Shimon finds out about it. So those two things go together. But oid, and besides that, Shakivin Shinago Ramoin Bramo Usan, besides that, since the fact is you have this trickery that people will master their field and then reacquire them and figure that that way they'll be Potsukum Meiser, Kol Gimul Yom, Einem Esnader, Shia Hefker. So for the whole 3 days, it's not clear that it's Hefker. The Ikal Mechash, Shlemi Dai Tayo Mafri, El Haram and Bobadi. You have to be concerned during those whole 3 days. He may not have done a real Hefker, he may have only done it for Harama. Yeah. Voloi have a Hefker, and therefore it's not Hefker. Lepichach, Roy Loima,
Dafi. 3 days is Basko, so to speak. What? Make Hefker.
After 3 days, we're going to say in a second. No, wait. So therefore, it's proper to say that even if somebody else is zocher in it during that time, yochol makir lachzibo, then the makir can change his mind. Shadayim lenifker lenigmer hefkerei, because during those 3 days, we say the hefker is not really complete yet, because there is that reason to be concerned that to begin with it wasn't a real hefker. Mikan ve'elach ein yochol lachzibo, but afterwards he can't be choizer. So even if during those 3 days nobody was yet zochen it, we don't trust him to say that he can be choizer, that it was never considered hefker in the first place. After 3 days, there's no problem of ramoyim anymore. Even if he did the hefker in a trickery, we're not going to wait 3 days to take possession of it because there's too much of a chance that somebody else might grab it in between.
After 3 days, if he wants to take it back and he cannot, according to this.
So not that he can't take it back, it's Hefker, anybody can take it back. But if he takes it back, it's not considered a continuation of his previous kinyan. He will be called different Meiser, fine. But on the other hand, he has a disadvantage that now he's going to have to create a new chazaka on it, for example. I mean, I haven't seen this anywhere, but it seems to make sense. Lechora, if he's considered that he got it from Hefker, then he's going to have to start establishing a whole new chazaka of 3 years. If during that 3 years somebody else comes and protests that I actually made then he'd have to come and prove it. Yeah, so that may not be very convenient. Yeah. So thus far, the Ran explains the first part of the Braisa. So now we see why the Gemara is saying. Now we see why the Gemara is saying that this first part seems to go according to the Chachamim, because again, according to Rabbi Yossi, on the face of it, there's no reason to say it's not a question of 3 days or not 3 days. According to Rabbi Yossi, nothing happens until somebody takes it, right? Whereas the Sefer that distinguished between Zachaba and not Zachaba would be according to Rabbi Yossi. Yeah. Where you're giving a specific amount of time, right? Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, the
would go to some extent according to obviously not to all of the others. Here, he says there's no limit in time until someone comes.
Right, but the point is, the Sefer, where we're saying there's no three-day grace period, that right. the Hefker takes effect as soon as somebody else takes it,
right.
Whereas, again, according to the Ran, in the first part, even if somebody takes it during the 3 days, right. Nothing happens. The fact that in the Sefer, immediately somebody takes it, the Hefker takes effect, that seems to be according to Rabbi Yossi. Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. So, again, the Rosh has a somewhat different explanation of this whole thing. First of all, the relevance of it being hefker or not is that if somebody were to eat the produce of it during that 3 days, it would still be chayiv and meiser. It's not yet considered hefker. But again, according to the Rosh, there is the idea that if somebody else is zoche in it during those 3 days, then yes, he's zoche in it. He got it from hefker, and therefore, yeah, it would be and therefore it would be potter. What the Rosh says is that, no, if it's Hefker without a time limit, if it's in the first part of the Braisa, if somebody else acquires it, yes, they acquire it, but during the 3 days, then yes, according to the Rosh, we say this other person did acquire it, but they're not Potter from Meiser. Because of the Ramoyim, we say it was sort of quasi Hefker. It was Hefker during those 3 days in the sense that somebody else can be zoch on it, but not in the sense that we consider that there was ever a time when it was actually Hefker.
What is it, Brisa? If he gives it to Hefker during the 3 days, he can come back on this. Unless someone takes it.
That's, again, according to the Ran, even if somebody else takes it, it doesn't help that it still goes back to him. It still can still come back to him within the 3 days.
He wouldn't be obligated to mice there, obviously.
No, that's the thing. If he takes it back within the 3 days, we say that the Hefker never took effect. Therefore, it remains chayiv and meiser. That's the whole point. That's,
the rule.
to the original owner. The original owner, that's the point. That's how we help against the Ramayim. Now this guy can't declare the field Hefker and then immediately reacquire it and be potter from Meisir because we're saying that the Hefker doesn't take effect until after 3 days. After 3 days, we're not worried about Ramayim anymore. That's the thing. So far, we're saying the first part of the Braisa seems to be according to the Chachamim, and the second part seems to go according to Rabbi Yossi. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get to it soon. That may be a way to explain it according to Rabbi Yossi as well. Anyway, what I was in the middle of saying is that according to the Rosh, it's somewhat different. According to the Rosh, during those 3 days, if somebody else acquires it, then yes, they've acquired it permanently. But they're still chayiv and meiser, as opposed to the Ran, who says that they wouldn't have. But they're still chayiv and meiser. After the 3 days, if somebody acquires it, whether the original
owners are chayiv and meiser.
No, they're the person who acquired it now. Yeah, the new owners then are nevertheless going to be chayiv and meiser. But after the 3 days, then they'd be potter from meiser. Okay. So, anyways, the question is, going back to the Gemara now, in the middle of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that you have so far, the Braisa seems to be, the first part seems to be according to the Rabbanan, the second part seems to be according to the B.I.C. Again, the Ran has his whole arichus over here that we would have to understand. Again, the first part of the Braisa is mentioning the 3 days because of the Ramayim, and therefore, when you say Ein Yochel Lachzavoy, when you say that you can't change your mind after 3 days, that would be, again, it could only be according to the Rabbanan, because according to Rabbi Yossi, it's still in limbo, it's still considered it's not in limbo, actually, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's still in Yer Rishus, until somebody else takes it. So why shouldn't you be able to be Chayzavoy? But then the second part, there's no problem of Ramoyim. The second part of the Braisa, there's no problem that he's doing it just in order to get out of Maisa, because then why would he mention a time limit? The fact that he mentioned a time limit, it meant that he means it as a real sincere hefker. Now the fact that we're saying in the second. That's what we said. It means, for example, that he says today it's Hefker. If by tomorrow at this time nobody else has taken it, then it's considered mine again. Not again, but a continuation of my ownership from before. It's not a new ownership, but rather a continuation of my ownership. So the point is like this, actually. Now the Braisa mentions the last part of the Braisa. This is the other point that Ran makes. The last part of the Braisa over here has two parts. One is that before anybody else was Zoicha, Yochel Lachzavoy. The other part is once somebody was Zoicha, then Ein Yochel Lachzavoy. Now, so the fact that we're saying that Ein Yochel Lachzavoy, once somebody else took effect, took possession of it, fine, that doesn't have to be only according to Rabbi Yossi. That could be according to the Rabbanan also. The Rabbanan also would necessarily have to agree once somebody else takes it. That's it, it's taken. Given that we're not worried about Ramayim, again, in the first part of the Braisa, if we weren't worried about Ramayim, it would be the same kind of thing. Immediately he declares that Hefker, somebody else takes it, that's that. It's only because of the Ramayim that we mentioned the 3 days. The second part of the Braisa, we're not worried about Ramayim. So that part goes according, that part can even be according to the Rabbanan. But this idea that we're saying Ad Shaloi Zochaba, that we're saying before anybody else was Zoicha in it, you're able to change your mind, that could only be according to Rabbi Yossi. Because according to the Rabbanan, there is that limbo period. There is Hefker, it leaves Yer Rishus, and then there's a period of time until somebody else takes it. According to the Rabbanan, once it left Yer Rishus, why should he be able to be chayiv about it? Even if it's a real, legitimate Hefker, there's no reason you should be able to be chayiv about it. So that particular detail, that ad shalai zachaba, ben hu ben acha, yachal achzabai, that seems to be only according to Rabbi Yossi. That's what we mean, sefer Rabbi Yossi. That sefer seems to be only according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, Amma Ola, Sefer Nami Rabbanan. No, you could say that one difference of a new ownership. One thing is it has implications as far as Trumas and Meisteris. If it's Hefker, if it was Hefker in between, then you pulse it from Truma and Meister. If it was not, then you Chayev. Number two, I'm thinking, I haven't seen this anywhere, but it seemed logical to me that it would be that you'd have to start with a whole new Chazakah. You're like this. You've owned the field for 20 years, and therefore you have a 3 years, whatever, and you have a chazaka on it already. If it's considered that it was Hefker in between, if you yourself, the original owner acquired it in a way that's considered acquiring it from Hefker, L'chorda, you would have to start over with a new chazaka.
He has for one day?
No, the one day, that's the thing. If he said it's hefker only for one day, then at the end of that one day, it resumes being his. That's not a new situation. I'm talking about the original case where he declared it hefker, nobody picked it up within the 3 days, and then he
really
himself picked it back. Then it would be really hefker. Yeah.
It could be the other way also, since nobody picked it back. He kept his previous chazaka.
No, but we're not saying that. After 3 days, we're saying the hefker has to take effect at some point.
But if you've got 5%
there is that, but on the other hand, I mean, the Rosh points out, on the other hand, you know, a person is not necessarily going to do that, because the fact of the matter is that he still has reason to be concerned. You know, fine, let's say I declared it hefker, but I'm still going and harvesting the crops from it. Meanwhile, somebody else can be going to the other end of the field and start harvesting the crops. So I'm not really gaining all that much. The person's not just going to declare it hefker and then it's going to have to sit there in limbo for 3 days and not knowing whether somebody else may take possession of it during that time. Again, according to the Rosh, somebody could take possession of it during that time, yeah. So, okay. Oma ula sefer nami rabbanani. No, you not necessarily. You could say that you could say that the sefer is also the sefer is also according to the Rabbanan. The difference is that the difference is Ula would say this idea that we're saying in the sefer that a person would declare it's only hefker for one day or 1 week or what have you. That's a very unusual kind of thing. It's not normal for a person to declare hefker like that. So therefore, we can assume that even the Rabbanan would say that when you declared it hefker in that way, on the one hand, yes, it means it's sort of a more sincere hefker as opposed to just declaring plain hefker where there might be a problem with Rabbayim. On the other hand, you obviously intend for it to return to you afterwards. You hope that during that one day, a week, or whatever, nobody's going to grab it and then keep it. You intend that after that, you're going to still resume your ownership of it. Therefore, we can assume that you didn't mean for it to completely leave your rishus, in the sense that, therefore, until somebody else was zoche in it, you still retain that rishus over it. So not only Rabbi Yossi might hold that way, even the Rabbanan might agree to that in that particular case.
Why? They didn't agree initially.
That's the thing, because we're distinguishing between plain hefker and hefker for a period of time. Plain hefker, we would say, yes, the Rabbanan are holding that immediately it leaves your rishus completely because you declared it outright hefker, and it's only because we just have a three-day business. But a hefker, whereas Rabbi Yossi is saying that not. A hefker for a period of time, though, is a hefker for a period of time, you yourself are obviously not meaning it to be a permanent hefker. If it was, you would have said a permanent hefker. The very fact that you didn't indicates that you want to keep a certain degree of ownership over it. Well, therefore, even the Rabbanan might say, fine, even during that limbo period, even during that period when it's sort of out of your rishus, during that one day or week or whatever, when it's hefker, it's not totally out of your rishus. And thus, until somebody actually takes it during that day or week, then you can change your mind.
But you can say the other way around. You can say, it could go like the first part of the writer, saying that during that one day, it's not yours, period. And then at the end of the one day, then if nobody comes, then it's back to you. But during the day, you could say, no, it's not yours.
But that's what we assumed initially. But then we have a problem that the Braita is split between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, and we don't want to do that. That's what forces Ula to say, given that the first part of the Braita seems to be only according to the Chachamim, because it doesn't seem to, on the face of it, although we'll get to that in a second, on the face of it, so far, it doesn't seem that we have a way of explaining the first part of the Braita like Rabbi Yossi, then necessarily we have to say the second part is also not like Rabbi Yossi. That's Ula's answer. That's Ula's answer, essentially. In general, it's very rare that we should assume that a Braita is divided like that among two Tanoim. Especially when there's no, you know, Mela, if there was a Tana mentioned somewhere in it saying maybe even some other statement, fine, if it's a Suri Mechsara, the Braita is missing words, here we don't even have that.
It seems to me more logical, it's true, but still, it seems more logical to say that in the first part of the Braita there's no time period, and the Chachamim say it's hefker, period. So why shouldn't it be also in the second part for one day, for one Shabbos, for 1 week, or whatever they decide?
Because that's not what the Braita is saying. The Braita is distinguishing in the second part whether somebody else was zoche in it or not. That doesn't seem to fit. That's so far we said that that doesn't seem to fit with the Chachamim. Now we're saying, though, that even the Chachamim themselves would make a distinction between regular Hefker and Hefker for a period of time. And yeah, that's what Ola is saying, essentially. So then why, if we're saying that the second part of the Braisa is like the Rabbanan, then why are we saying that before somebody else is Zohar, you can change your mind? Again, that seems to be only a point of Rabbi Yossi. The answer is, that's what we just said. Shiny shana v'shavua d'leshtichi.
It's different.
That's the thing. When you're saying for a year or 7 years, it's unusual to declare Hefker like that. The very fact that he declared that unusual kind of Hefker indicates that he wants to keep a certain partial ownership
of it.
Yeah, well, that at least during that time, until somebody else picks it up, that should be considered still his. That Yochel lost the blood. Okay, Rish Lakish, Shoma. Rish Lakish, yeah. Rish Lakish, Shoma. No, mid the safer Rabbi Yossi, Reish Nami Rabbi Yossi. No, on the contrary, given, let's assume the safer is more easily understood according to Rabbi Yossi. Forget about this idea of temporary Hefker versus permanent Hefker. Rabbi Yossi seems to be the only one who we explicitly find draws a distinction, according to Rabbi Yossi anyway, between whether somebody else was Zoche or not. So therefore, the second part necessarily goes according to Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, we're going to have to find a way to end for the first part going according to Rabbi Yossi. The reason why Rabbi Yossi is saying why according to Rabbi Yossi after 3 days can't you change your mind anymore? The reason is that you don't want people to forget the whole concept of Hefker. Namely, what does that mean? Ram says, if technically yes, in theory according to Rabbi Yossi doesn't matter 3 days, 3 weeks, or whatever. As long as nobody else took the field, you would be allowed to change your mind. The problem with that is that. Then people are going to think that even if somebody else gets it, it's not considered Hefker. Therefore, that people would think that it's more like getting a present, a matana, and therefore they would think that this field is chayiv and nicer, when really it's potter because it was Hefker.
Why
do
you think it's matana? Repeat that again.
Okay, so a coin to Yossi like this. According to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, from when you declare it Hefker until somebody else actually takes it, it's still considered in the original owner's reshus. That's why Rabbi Yossi had said. That's what Rabbi Yochanan had said, that Hefker is like a matana. That when Reuven declares something Hefker, even if a week passes by before Shimon takes it, at that point it's considered that it was transferred from Reuven to Shimon. Not like the Chachamim are saying that it went from Reuven to Hefker and then to Shimon.
So that's when if it says Hefker, if you have a fruit or vegetable or something like this, I can take it, Hefker?
That's what Hefker means, yes. But wait, okay. So the point is like this then. When the first part of the Braisa mentioned the 3 days and said that after the 3 days, Ein Yochel Lachzavai, Rabbi Yossi would say like this. Theoretically, yes, of course you could be Chachamim. The fact is, until somebody else took it, it's still Hefker. It's still in your reshus. The problem is that, after all, at some point, the status of Hefker has to take effect. When the status of Hefker takes effect, then it's going to be, at that point, it's going to be potter from Meister. Even if Rabbi Yossi is saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan's Shitta, that there's never really that in-between stage when it's considered Hefker, there is sort of a moment over there when it passes from Reuben to Shimon's property by means of Reuben having declared it Hefker, that it becomes, therefore, potter from Meister. People aren't going to realize that, though. People are going to think that it's a matana, that it's the equivalent of Reuven giving it as a present to Shimon. And if Reuven gives it as a present to Shimon, it was never potter from Meiser, it remains chayiv and Meiser. People, therefore, are going to think that it's chayiv and Meiser. And as Gemara is going to say in a minute, then what's going to happen is they're going to think that they're going to think it's chayiv and Meiser, and then they're going to get mixed up as far as truma and Meiser and end up giving from something that's potter on something that's chayiv or vice versa.
Whereas really,
because after all, the Hefker has to take effect at some point, then it would be potter from Meiser. So in order to avoid that... So what we're saying is, in other words, okay, like this. Let's think of it like this. When we said the first part of the life that goes according to the Chachamim, we said theoretically the Hefker should take place right away, but we're making us wait 3 days for it to fully take effect. Now, according to Rav Yossi, we're kind of saying the other way around. Theoretically, there should be no limit. Theoretically, it should be even a week until somebody takes it, and only then does the hefker take effect. But we don't want that to happen because after a week, or after 3 days, after the person declared a hefker, people are not going to realize if you don't make some kind of time limit, then people are not going to realize that it ever was hefker. Like this, you make a time limit. After 3 days, it's considered fully hefker, in the sense that Ein Yochel Lachzor, the original owner, can't change his mind, and even if he takes it back, at that point, it's considered to be hefker. That clarifies to people that there's such a thing as declaring a field hefker, and that at that point, the field becomes potter for meisers.
Basically, you make both together.
Yes, that's what therefore we're saying. The whole Braita goes according to Rav Yossi. The reason for the 3 days in the Reisha is we don't want people to forget about the concept of hefker. We don't want them to forget the idea that things that are hefker are potter from Maaser.
Therefore the whole Braisa can go
according to the Yeti. So therefore, what we do is, the Rosh explains it somewhat differently. The Rosh explains that what we do is the Rabbanon declared it, the Rabbanon therefore declared it hefker, and therefore, well, it's only hefker the Rabbanon, meaning the Midraisa would still be chayev in Meiser, or Midrabbanon is potter from Meiser. As Gemara is going to say later on other days, what we have to do therefore, because the Rabbanon, there is such a thing as hefker based in hefker, that based in hefker have the right to declare something hefker, even though really it shouldn't have been. That's what we're saying. In other words, Midaraisa would still not have been considered, it still would have been Chayiv and Meiser. Midrabanan if not, because Midrabanan after the 3 days, we say that it becomes Potter from Meiser. But what we're going to say on other days is, therefore, because of that, you're going to have to make sure to take Meiser only out of this field for its own produce. Normally, you could, for example, a person has two fields. You could take the produce, you can take the wheat from one and use it as Meiser for the wheat from the other. But here you can't do that because here this one is only chayev, this one is only potter midrabanan and chayev midaraisa. Therefore, you have to make sure that the trumas and maizers come out of this very field itself.
Even if
it's
hefker, right?
What?
Even if it's
hefker. Yes. Yeah. Well, no. If it was completely hefker, daraisa and midrabanan, it would be potter for truma and maizer. Here we're talking about, according to the Rosh, it's chayev. It's still chayev and maizer in atorah. It's potter midrabanan.
And this doesn't matter how many days.
So, no, that's what we said. The 3 days and after 3 days. According to Rav Yossi, then really it didn't matter how long it would have been. The owner could have always changed his mind and taken it back, and we would say that the hefker status never took effect. Midrabanan, we don't want to do that, because again, we don't want people to forget about the concept that hefker passes from Meiser. Therefore, after 3 days, we declare it full-fledged hefker.
When does hefker take effect?
According to Rabbi Yossi, only when somebody else picks it up. That's what we're talking, according to Rabbi Yossi. This part of the Gemara, this part, according to Rish Lakish, is talking, according to Rabbi Yossi. At least according to Rabbi Yechanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi.
Not everybody agrees on Der Reiser, what is hefker?
No, there's definitely a case that Der Reiser is hefker.
Well,
for one thing, if the person said it's hefker for a year or whatever. There's no question that the hefker daraisa. There are, by the way, also some achronim talk about this whole discussion that we're having over here is in connection with a field where there is this problem of harama, where you could be declaring the field hefker just in order to get out of truma and nicer. Not necessarily would it apply to other things that you might declare hefker where that issue is not relevant.
Okay, but the definition according to the Torah of hefker, what is
something that is ownerless, something that doesn't belong to anybody.
And when does it become hefker?
So again, according to the Chachamim, right away when you declare it hefker, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's still considered in your reshus until somebody else takes it. That's what we're discussing over here. This has implications in various other areas of halacha. By the way, the Alter Rebbe discusses this whole business of declaring something hefker in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, as far as sometimes Shabbos what?
Shabbos
Aveda. No, Shabbos Aveda, the object, not hefker, unless the person was miyash on it. But unless it wasn't that Yiddish. No, but the Alter Rebbe discusses it in connection, for one thing, with Hilchos Shabbos. It was a common situation in those days, maybe it still is now, I don't know, that a person had, for example, an animal that was rented out to a goy, and the goy is going to be working with it on Shabbos. How do you deal with that? The goy is doing the locha with your animal on Shabbos. One idea is you declare it hefker. Now, how do you declare it hefker without somebody else taking it during the interim? So the Alter Rebbe discusses that. And it discusses this in that connection. Actually, the Alter Rebbe makes the interesting point. You're declaring it hefker only as long as the goy is working with it. Well, while the goy is working with it, he's not going to let somebody else take it. Therefore, that hefker is able to be in effect. And again, there's no problem of harama because you're not doing it, and you're not doing it in order to get out of trumas and meisters or whatever. You're doing it, yeah. Similarly, the Alter Rebbe also discusses this whole matter of hefker and the effect of it. There, I say in connection with declaring your chavetz hefker. Being mevatel chavetz, right? I mean, you do biur chametz, but afterwards you have to do bittul as well, and the bittul involves declaring a hefker. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
You cannot say it's going to be hefker for a day or for a week.
But in effect, you are actually. In effect, you are kind of saying it's hefker only for the week of Pesach. Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah.
What allows you to take it back then?
The chametz that you were mevatel, actually, not. I mean, that's the thing. Midaraisa would help. Midaraisa, all you need to do is be mevatel your chametz. Midrabanan, they didn't want to allow you to do that because you're going to find the chametz around during Pesach and forget that it's Pesach and eat it. Therefore, the chachamim made you do biur chametz. So the chametz you dispose of, you destroy. Or you sell it to the goy, which is different. The sale for the goy is ends up being a temporary sale, but at the time it's actually designed as a permanent sale. It's just if the goy doesn't pay off the balance after Pesach, then you have the option to buy it back from him, basically. But Okay. Anyway, going back to the Gemara. Okay, yichachi afil miyom erushin nami lahavehefter. Well, then by that logic, then why are we saying 3 days in the first place? Shouldn't it be hefter right away from the first day? According to Rabbi Yossi, if the logic that we're saying is that you want to declare that hefter takes effect right away, then why the 3 day grace period? Because of the tricksters, who declare their field hefker and then change their mind. This is what Ram said before. Now, but daraisa, it's not hefker. Now, the Rosh takes that sentence as a statement that it's only hefker midrabanan, it's not hefker midaraisa during those 3 days.
Rather than a question.
The Ran understand the Ran and Rashi understand it as a question. That in that case you're telling me daraisa it's not hefker. The dilma ofil asuri min achiyuv al apturim min aptur al achiyuv. Well, then won't you have a problem that somebody is going to end up taking meiser from what's chayev on what's potter and from what's potter on what's chayev? If you say that this field is not hefker midaraisa, so it's still chayev in meiser daraisa, but it is hefker midrabanan after the 3 days, then what's going to happen? It's potter midrabanan. You're going to think, though, that it's still chayev daraisa. You're going to go use some of the produce from it as meiser for another field of yours, for another stack of grain from another field, and this field is potter midrabanan, and that one is chayev both midaraisa and midrabanan, and it won't work. And you could have opposite cases as well. Now, the Ran points out, I mean, it's true, why don't we just say hefker based in hefker, and one should just say hefker based in hefker, and therefore, if it's hefker, it's completely potter. The reason is, the Ran says,
received, in other words,
in a sense. I mean, we learned in Yevamos, the Chachamim, we talked about, we had a sugya in Yevamos about when the Chachamim have the right to uproot a din in the Torah. One of it is when it involves a matter of hefker, when it involves a matter of din yevamos.
Because then we
learned in Yevamos, that's not it. Because then the Rabbanan have the right, okay, that's tzaddik, then the Rabbanan have the right to declare something hefker. So why don't they just do that here and avoid the whole problem? The reason is, the Ran says, on the contrary, the Rabbanan don't want to use their power of hefker to make you potter from meiser. Something which is chayev min atzorda, they don't want to declare it hefker to the extent that it's going to be completely potter. So therefore, min atzorda, it still remains chayev. Only midrabanan is considered hefker and potter, and then you have this problem. The answer is damrin and like kimasar to asay mineuve. Fine. What we do is we tell him, when you're taking meiser for this field, make sure you take only out of this very field itself. And by the way, the pturim, actually, before we get to that answer, let me just point out, the Ran also points out, and the Ran and the Rosh also point out, there's another example where you can have a problem in a pturim al-achiyuv. We talked about in various places the idea that if you have produce, if you have grain or whatever growing in a flower pot, then it depends whether the pot has a hole or not. If it has a hole, then it's considered the plant is able to get nourishment from the ground through the hole, therefore it's chayav midaraisa. If it doesn't have a hole, it's only chayav midrabanan. So there you have the same kind of thing. This field is chayav minatora. You can have, for example, grain that but potter midrabanan. You have grain that's growing in a flower pot, for example, without a hole, which is only chayav midrabanan. You're gonna think that you can use one of them as maaser for the other. And you can't.
Does it have to be flower pot has to be on the ground when it has a hole? Or
no, we learned in Shabbos about this, for example, that even if you have it stuck on top of pegs, for example, as long as there is a direct like line of sight basically between the hole and the ground, then it's considered attached to the ground.
Very theoretical.
But that's how it is in halacha. And listen, I mean, when you get down to it, I mean, do plants really need soil to grow at all? I mean, nowadays they have hydroponics, you know, where they grow plants in water, but, you know,
they don't grow on air.
No, but, you know, okay. So the answer is that, yeah, what we do is very simple. We tell him, look, this field itself, fine, however you want to consider the status of this field, chayav midaraisa, katan midrabanan, whatever it is, the fact is the whole field has the same status. It all is in this sort of limbo of hefker and not hefker. So therefore, fine, make sure, take the trimmers and nicers for this field out of its own produce. Don't take other produce and try to use it as nicer for it. Don't take produce from this field and try to use it as nicer for some other field.
Because
not so much a doubt, but because we have it's like hefker and not hefker at the same time, so to speak.
Hefker means
rabbanon. Hefker means rabbanon, not hefker means rabbanon. Nice, but the Gemara says, okay, I have another contradiction on this whole discussion. A Mishnah says, Hamafker is Karmoy. Somebody declares his vineyard hefker. Well, the Shacha Omad Rebots, right? Then in the morning he goes and starts harvesting it, which means that he himself seems to have been Zoche in it from hefker. Chayev Beperet of Oilos of a Shichol Peya. So he's Chayev in. Peret is a specific thing that applies. Actually, peret is similar to leket, actually. It's when you're harvesting grapes, if you drop one or two grapes, then you have to leave them for the poor. If you drop three or more, then you can take them. That's peret. A similar concept of leket with grain, where if you drop one or two stalks. Over oilulus is a thing specific to vineyards, undeveloped clusters of grapes. They usually tend to grow like late in the season. You have like a normal cluster has what the Mishnah calls in pay of kesef and netef. Kesef, it has like wide shoulders, like the, you know, think of like the stereotypical depiction of a cluster of grapes, like on the wine bottles or whatever. You know, it's sort of like a triangle. So it's wide at the top, and then it gradually narrows towards the bottom. The wide at the top is the kesef. The narrowing towards the bottom, that it hangs down along the main stem over there, is the netef. Oilulus is no, just literally means like dripping down, like dripping, because it looks like dripping off the end. Oilulus is an undeveloped cluster that has like a couple of individual grapes here and there on the stem and not in any kind of pattern. Those kind also, the Torah says, have to be left for poor people. So it's chayiv and peret and oilulus, or b'shitcho v'peya. If you forget the cluster, then you have to leave it for the poor, and peya, that you have to leave a corner of the vineyard for the poor. All of these things, even if the thing is considered hefker, you're still potter from all of them, because by all of these things, the Torah uses the word tazo. The Torah uses the extra word tazo, that you have to leave them for the poor, which implies, unlike maizrist, unlike truma and maizr, where you potter if they're hefker, here you're chayev in these things even if the field at one time was hefker.
Because
the pasuk says you have to leave it for the poor people. So even in a case where you declared it hefker, and then it was considered hefker, and then you yourself reacquired it in a way that it's considered you started over anew from hefker, nevertheless, you're still going to be chayiv in those things. Or potter min ha-maiser, but you're potter from maiser. So, bishlem la'ula, d'rabanan katani lo, d'araisa katani lo. So, okay, according to Ula, it works out very well. That even though the Rabbanan made this takana of the 3 days, the fact of the matter is, when we say you're potter, we mean you're potter d'araisa. The braise means you potter on a deraisa level. Yes, derabanan, the hefker hasn't taken effect during those 3 days, so derabanan you chayev, but mid deraisa you potter. El Rish Lakish amai potter min amai. So according to Rish Lakish, that our original braise at the beginning of the sugya is according to the Rabbi Yossi, then He says that you're allowed to change your mind until somebody else gets it. Now, he or nobody else got it, because he himself woke up the next morning and started harvesting it. So why do we say that it was ever considered hefker? According to Rabbi Yossi, the hefker should never have taken effect.
Should take effect only when someone comes.
Only when somebody else comes and takes it, out of hefker, right? The answer is, yeah. So fine, Rosh Lakish would answer. Ki amri anol Rabbi Yossi. Fine, I was explaining the previous braisa according to Rabbi Yossi. Ho rabbanani, this braisa that we just quoted, this braisa of Hamakdor Eskarmai, is only according to the rabbanan. You're right, I would say that Rabbi Yossi would disagree with this braisa.
That we could be.
Yeah.
It cannot be from Rabbi.
Well, that's according to Rosh Lakish anyway, that the second braisa can't be according to Rabbi Yossi, yeah. And the discussion will continue tomorrow, that's the chance. Yeah.
Of course.